shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies, lets them sit on a shelf for a long time, and then we make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I am here this week, as always, with Cody Wolf.
All right.
Somebody had to do Andy Wolf.
Nothing witty to say here.
Okay, fair enough. Jack?
This movie sucks. Jack Estabrook.
Our movie this week, boy, this is the first movie we've ever had where the date of the movie is sort of... It was shot in 1994.
Well, Food Fight, I think, is pretty...
That's true. This movie was made in 1994 and played in film festivals in 1994, but didn't actually show up in what were then video stores until 1997. It is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Next generation.
Which is the fourth Texas Chainsaw movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
TNG.
Engage.
And I guess we'll dive right in. But maybe just to preface it, we watch crazy movies for this show all the time. This is
the stupidest movie you ever watched.
This is nuts. This movie is really nuts, even by our standards.
I think it's one of those movies, too, where they sort of try to retroactively call it a satire.
Yeah.
It's how it was, because it was a satire of the horror film industry or whatever.
Well, it wasn't a satire. It's actually...
No, I know it wasn't, but I think they're trying to spin it that way.
What they were doing was actually paralleling the first one. I mean,
paralleling, they're ripping
events,
it off.
Right,
what I would say is, to me, it felt like a cheap high school play of the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but they couldn't get all the rights to all the characters, so they kind of just made it up as they went along.
You got the high school part with the dialogue, because the dialogue is the most ridiculous freaking dialogue ever written.
And we should say, this is from the screenwriter of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And directed by.
They copied his script. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's nuts. Well, and they clearly had rights, because they have Leatherface so this wasn't even a rights issue. No. This is just a terrible movie.
It's a stupid movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, they got the names, absolutely, yeah.
They did that with the first one, too. They try to say, like, it's a... so funny. You know, like I never watched the first one, but I'm like rolling on the floor laughing. It's like I don't know where they're talking about this.
I heard that in regards to the second one.
I think
was interviewed about the second one, and when he was criticized for it, to my understanding, he was like, "Well, the first one's a comedy too."
That's what it was.
Kind of like as Cody said, retroactively.
That was after when the second one came out. He was like, "Well, yeah, the first one. If you watch it again, it's a black comedy." So that's why this is the same thing, because it's a black comedy.
Right, yeah.
I don't think it's obviously not supposed to be.
And this fourth one was, I don't know what they classified
as. At times there were moments in that first act with the annoying teens getting chased around where there were some, I think, attempts at humor. And I thought, well, at least the film is trying to... I can't recall anything specifically, but...
You might be speaking for yourself here, Jack. I would clarify.
Maybe I'm just seeing humor in what's not supposed to be funny because it was so bad, like unintentional humor.
There was times where there was lines of dialogue which I didn't understand what the hell they're even talking about.
I don't know.
Talking about sex or talking about pot.
There's other stuff, though, where I'm like, what's this even leading to? Or is this dumb? Just dumb dialogue.
Well, I think they're just trying to fill the first act
of the movie.
It had
to be, because the dialogue made no fucking sense whatsoever.
Yeah. Oh, and we should mention, too, this movie was eventually released because it has two huge stars in it. In between
Oscar
shooting
winners.
It in 1994 and releasing it in 97, Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey blew up. And it is crazy to see the two of them in this nutty movie.
It almost seems unreal.
Zellweger at least handles it. I mean,
I have to say she's not. I mean, like,
right.
There
I
are
mean,
moments where McConaughey where moments where McConaughey is doing it though. Yeah, but it works in the movie. Like you can tell he's just like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just this crazy guy with a mechanical leg. I'm gonna kill these guys. I'm gonna laugh it up and have fun with it.
Right.
So there are times where, again, I'm not gonna give the film too many credit, but there are times where he is selling it though.
Well,
it's a dumb movie, but there are moments where he is selling.
Went way over the top with
Obviously. Yeah. You can see in both of their
performances.
Can you
imagine how dull this movie would be, though, if he didn't go over the top?
I know, you're right. Yeah, I know.
Been, like, the dullest movie.
But let's say it took all the attention off Leatherface for how long? Oh, I mean,
90 minutes?
Yeah.
And I would give Renee Zellweger some credit in particular. You can actually see, especially later in this film, like, Yeah,
when she gets yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
She can act like she's scared. She's terrible, but yeah, like she's good. Yeah. I mean, in a terrible, terrible movie.
Better than the other chick. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, she was.
Wow.
We'll talk about her. Okay. All right. So the movie starts off.
So prom pictures, right? It's prom night.
Oh no! Before that, well, much like Star Wars.
Oh yes, I'm sorry.
A lot of text on prologue. Screen.
Well, they have to. Yeah.
In case you haven't seen the first movie.
Right.
You know, they want to remind us of a good movie, and then.
At what point in the production process is someone like, "This is a good idea"? Are people just like, "Hey, Star Wars did it, okay? Like, we can start with text on screen. A lot of text on screen."
Well, they did it before Star Wars, though. Texas Chainsaw Massacre starts.
Yeah,
that
but that
way,
that establishes and, that helps to lend. Your disbelief that suspend your disbelief right. that this is real events, yeah. you know, that kind of yeah. helps lend itself well to
but
that
this thing. So, but
as in this documentary movie, type style, yeah,
the worked in the first one because the first one was so gritty and it could have, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
it could have been
looks
real
like
events.
It's like found footage almost, yeah.
But then they
this
feel like they have to do it now.
Right, it's ridiculous.
And it's just dull. And I love the line in the text where it says, you know, talks about blah, 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 this massacre thing. And then, quote, thing. Over the next several years, two minor,
I know minor right?
related incidents. I'm like, ooh, like that's harsh. What so, a smackdown
so
wait, in your own sequel.
So right. is this movie implying that this is an entirely different family of weirdos who happen to be almost identical to the family of weirdos?
No, no, I think, no, I think this is the same family,
right?
Just like literally the next generation, like their yeah. kids.
Well, I think yeah. this is like supposed to be the sequel to the first one.
Yeah, right.
And yes. they're kind of saying like, oh, the other two, they might have been related. Those other two things, but
right,
it's like, oh.
like Halloween, they're
retconning. They're retconning the, right. the yes. lack of right. existence of the
like,
other two
yeah.
movies.
H2O,
okay.
they kind of went yep. like, those other ones didn't happen. It's just yep. you know,
so
this is the third one.
Let's crap yeah. on those fans. Yeah.
yeah, yeah. So, all right. So now we get a bunch of teens getting ready for the for their prom, and a lot of like. I don't know, like a lot of weird shenanigans.
This film
at this
looked
prom.
Like it was shot, like these scenes anyway. I didn't look like 96. It looked more like 86.
Oh, are you speaking of a guy's shirt that is so ruffled? I mean, like,
I mean,
it's not even fair to call it like the
like
pirate
even
shirt from
even
Seinfeld.
The technique, the film stock, the I don't know. It just didn't. I was like, this was shot 94. I was like, this was shot in the 90s. This seems like older.
It does.
To me.
It does feel a little. Well, the early
probably low budget, right? Yeah. Cheaper well, film stock. I get it, but.
Well, this actually
it just
must
seemed
have
older
been
to me.
Shot. See, this might have actually been shot in 93 because it was playing in film festivals in 94.
Yeah, it was probably 92, 93.
So
yeah,
this okay. is actually
so it's closer to the '80s. That yeah. makes sense.
I did enjoy that one girl appears to, like this is never explained in the movie. The one girl
oh,
who's at the prom
like,
who's like having a stroke yeah, or something.
Like, what is that?
What was going on with
she's
that?
Just, sometimes she's just
high
I,
or
what I'm saying. I think she has severe social anxiety.
I
just
took
never touch on it.
I took this at face value and said this is just what the director thinks that shallow girls are like. I can't go in there because like Becky is being oh my god. That I just
like,
took it as a dumb joke.
Her
and just,
body movements are all weird.
Yeah.
I was like,
she's like twitching out. You're right.
How much? Yeah,
she's twitching out.
And at this point, you kind of figure she's going to be like one of the main characters because they put some
you
character
significance on her. She's even wearing like a red dress, which
never,
draws your attention. Because
the other girl who actually is one of the main characters is like a doll. Just
is dope. And that girl who's having a stroke is never seen yeah. again. I think she probably died. Like, and that's like the lost storyline of this movie. Right, right. No one got her medical help. Like, probably a blood clot was going to her brain. Oh,
that's part five.
That's the scariest.
That's part
thing.
Five.
So we meet.
It would have been a better movie, actually.
It would have been. That would have been much
dying
scarier.
Slowly in the hospital.
Yeah, it could have happened to any of us. We meet this guy named Barry.
Barry.
Yeah, who's making out like, and I mean, why are you really making out with some girl? Like,
yep.
This is almost like True Blood, like
yeah.
you know, trying to take the blood out of her neck, making out with her. When his girlfriend comes out of the prom and it's like Barry,
Barry.
And she storms off. The other girl who he has just been like sucking face with is like, she'll be back.
Yeah, what was that?
what? Why would that?
Like, I don't know.
In an almost reassuring way where she's like, don't worry. I'm like, what are you
You're the other
what,
woman.
What happened here? That was so strange.
It was a bit. Right off the bat, the dialogue, you're already like, wait a minute, this is. It, making no sense already.
I people's mean, relationships and like who they are. So. The girl who's driving away, who I just have in my notes, I don't know what her name is. I just called her dumb girl.
But
she's not dumb.
She's not. That's
it's
right.
An act.
She's, yeah, it's right. She
she's
acts
not dumb.
Dumb.
Acting that way makes life more interesting.
She lets Barry get into the car.
Right. Now.
And
Yeah, right. And then they're talking and shit, and then all of a sudden Renee Zellweger and
they're
in a car chase. They're spinning out, like going like 100 miles an hour. They're in a minor accident, like where somebody taps them, and then like 5 minutes later, Renee Zellweger and some other dude pop up in the back seat, like, "Oh, hi, where are you?" I'm like, "You weren't going to come up with like, the car was say, in like an
this,
accident?"
Yeah, no. Like the next, it felt like forever. Like the next 15 minutes is just this cheap car set where they're all literally just sitting in a car. I don't think the car is bouncing.
It doesn't. Like they said they're supposed to be going really fast, and in the interior shots, it's like two lights outside his window aren't even moving.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And they're talking about like how
are these guys friends or what?
He like,
oh, hold on.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, hold on, we're gonna do a pause. Here.
Destroyed the recorder.
Chair wheel.
It's like Andy Wolf just pulled the recorder off. All right.
It was in the chair wheel. Yeah. Are these two friends of theirs, or what? They don't seem like they're friends?
He starts to fill her up too, doesn't he?
So why are they in his back seat of his car?
They're getting high.
Well, I think they were smoking pot.
Okay, but
I think.
Are they friends? They seem like they're not friends.
They seem to not even really know each other.
The film establishes that they're friends merely by sticking them in the same car, and we, the audience, have to fill in the blanks that they know each other because they're clearly giving this guy crap, this Barry, because he's talking about his technique to get women by saying that his dad is a doctor and he has to feel their breasts or else they'll get cancer or something. And then he starts shouting like back at them, like these stabbing comments. And then he tries to feel up Renee Zellweger.
Stabbing him.
And in the meantime, this chick is just driving the car, just like, and I'm like, what is going on here? Like, this is, the dialogue is just so bland, it sets nothing up.
I can tell you this. At this point, the character in the movie I care the most about is the car. I genuinely felt bad when the car was in.
Right. The accident, there's another one coming
and
up, too.
And the second accident, I was like, man, I really feel for that car right now.
It really gets into things right away.
They hit another car.
And they're driving like through the woods. The car, right? I don't know where they're going, but they're driving.
Well, it was a detour. Like some
well, it looks like they go from like this high school in like a pretty, looks like maybe an affluent area to like 2 miles down the road. They're in, you know, the backwoods of Texas and with all these rednecks and cannibals live.
Yeah.
Yeah. They hit a car. This guy, I still am not sure I exactly understand what was going on with the guy they hit. He gets out of his car and then
I'm assuming
passes out.
He escaped from this family. I was assuming.
I don't even think that's true.
I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, because he hits them and then he's laying in the middle of the road.
He's just like, I'm okay, and then he falls over and passes out.
He had to be escaped from the family. Wasn't the car driving erratically?
Velmer comes in the wrecker, but who called the tow truck?
The woman.
Oh, that's right, the random woman that they bump into, Flash's teenage boys.
So they decide they're going to walk. Their car, the teenager's car we've met, isn't drivable. They leave Renee Zellweger with this kid who hit them, or they hit.
They leave the skinny kid with the guy who may or may not be dead and the two cars.
Yes.
And then they go in search of a phone. The three
Renee Zellweger, Barry, and the girl who's not dumb, she just acts dumb, go in search of a phone.
And one of my favorite lines in this movie is she drops a flashlight.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's lit up like freaking Yankee Stadium out there.
It's so bright.
He's like, great, now we can't see anything.
And it keeps messing with the flashlight.
I can see like 50 feet behind you. You can't see anything.
The flashlight's still on, but he keeps like hitting it until it like goes off. He's like, oh, it doesn't work anymore. But it's like on. He's like,
because you keep hitting it.
Yeah. And at one point, one of the girls is like, we need to stay here and start a fire. I'm like, start a fire? You're like 2 minutes from civilization. Right, it's crazy. And then, so right after, actually, one of the girls is like, we need to stay here and start a fire. And Barry's like, no, we need to keep going. One shot, bam, they're at some woman's office.
Right. Now, what office is this?
It looks like a real estate office. There's no sign on it.
Yeah, there's no sign. It could be a police station. It could be a realtor's office.
I think it's just a realtor's office.
It's literally like a secretary's office in the middle of nowhere. Like, literally, there's just a box, and you open up a door, and there's like
an office. Are you saying secretary because she's a woman, Jack?
Yeah.
Well, she could be a lawyer. Yeah, I mean, I just...
Well, you weren't secretary, though. I mean...
Yeah, you did go right to secretary.
President of the United States.
Right. I've got some issues I have to deal with. I'm sorry.
I know. Let's try to keep the sexism down a little bit here.
I have to have some issues. I'm sorry. I have some
issues. She was doing the dishes and...
Yeah. I had some issues.
She was barefoot. She was barefoot and pregnant?
That's just what it looked like to me.
Well, she was either a secretary or a nurse. I can't... There's only two jobs.
There's a kitchen in the middle of nowhere.
That's right. That's
you
know, yeah.
I mean,
no.
It's not like she was an engineer. She was right. A lady. So then this scene exploded my mind. This scene is crazy. They walk in. They've just watched a kid. They've been in two car crashes. Maybe watched a kid die. Were so lost they considered starting a fire in the woods, but immediately just begin focusing on this woman and her breasts. Right. Everyone,
even Renee Zellweger is kind of like,
hey. Everyone's
well, she's staring
out
at this woman's breasts, and she's staring at this woman's breasts, and she's like, implants. You should try them, honey. And I was like, what?
And then we find out she's really into flashing.
High school boys who fly, drive by.
They drive
and honk
by and smash a window all the time, or something.
They're like smash her window to get her attention, or something. Yeah,
who smashed her window? Do
some
we know
kids,
the
well, there's
to
some
that?
Kids in the car when she flashed them. The kid. The
there were there was a
away.
Car that drove away.
So it's just some kids looking to get flashed.
Yeah.
Now so is this part of the elaborate setup?
Does she go through a lot of windows?
They threw a brick through her window with the hopes they would get flashed.
Yes, it must happen frequently.
That doesn't even make sense.
When in Texas,
okay. It's prom night.
Okay, so
so they're all like, "Oh, we hit a car, and this guy is like dying in the middle of the road. We need an ambulance." Blah blah. Blah. So she gets on the phone. And she calls
Velmer.
Calls a tow truck.
Right.
She
and
calls
they're cool
Velmer.
With that.
Yeah.
They're not like, oh, call the police too.
Right.
Or
it's like, oh, the tow truck will take care of it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, tow truck's coming, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so she gets on the phone. She's like, Velmer, there's some kids up the road about a mile, and they're, you know, one of them's hurting, blah, blah, blah.
And now we meet Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
We cut to Matthew McConaughey. He's showing up to the car crash site in his wrecker.
Yep.
And immediately threatens to kill the kid who's there. I mean, just no... You know, there's not
no
even
bones
really,
about it.
Nope, we're gonna go with it. Now at this point, I'm wondering, there's supposed to be a chainsaw somewhere in this movie, right?
You'll be waiting a while.
Yeah.
You'll be waiting a while. Just tells Skid threatens to kill him, and he says, "Quote, ain't no biggie." Oh, and
he kills him.
And he kills him.
Yeah, but again, it's another horror movie cliche. I wish we could get away from these things. The kid's running down a dirt road. There's fucking woods all around him, and he continues to run down the damn. So he deserves to die.
Yeah,
because he goes like later on. Renee Zellweger runs to the woods, and he's like, "Okay,
right,
and
then
he drives away."
Okay,
so
his kid deserves to die.
Yeah.
He deserves to die because he's a terrible actor, also. But
well, he's pretty terrible.
Well, he had like two lines.
He didn't have a chance. You'd just kill him straight up based on that alone.
So
judge,
now we,
jury, and executioner.
We cut back to Flasher Lady in her office with the three other kids. And she's like, "All right, you guys are all set. I don't know where
all
they're
set,
going.
Like,
yeah,
I think they're just going back up the road.
I guess right, going back up the road. I don't.
Because yeah, because
she
like,
clearly
oh, hey.
Has a car. She can't drive them.
I don't know. And she has
well, because she sees like across the road, there's like a gas station, and they're like, yeah. "Hey, the guy over there. Do you think he can give us a ride?" And she's like, "Nah, he's a crazy old guy." So like, okay, yeah. And they just walk up the road.
So she's basically like, "Ah, get out of here, you kids!" And the kids are like, all right. Yeah, "All right, I guess we will." Right. And the greatest line in this movie, unquestionably, as Flasher Lady says to Renee Zellweger about the Matthew McConaughey, the tow truck driver, "Don't worry about him. You just tell him how the cows eat the cabbage and you won't have any trouble." What? Like, that is not a saying. How the cows eat the cabbage? Like, tell him how the cat, like...
Is that a vagina reference, or...?
I don't know what that is about. I was really hoping that Renee Zellweger was going to talk to him later on and be
she
like...
She seemed to kind of...
Can you Google that?
I got to look. If that's
I'll
a Texas
it.
Thing...
Yeah, I'll see.
Yeah.
It's your Chainsaw Master next time comes up.
So now the kids start walking back to their car, and Barry, who's the one dude with Renee Zellweger and the girl who's not dumb, she just acts dumb, this just gets like brutal, like where she, you know, Barry at one point is like, "Hey, do you want me to carry you?" And the girl sometimes like, "Maybe my foot hurts." He's like, "Lose 20 pounds." Wow. All right.
Jerk.
Okay. And then a minute later, the girl who wanted Barry to carry her starts running. Like she starts
running
for the
truck. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's a truck they see.
Yeah.
So they run out of the truck, which takes a left. Two of them run, and Renee Zellweger doesn't go with them.
Walking.
No, now she's alone.
She's on her own. Yeah,
they become separated
with a busted flashlight.
And later gets attacked by a trash bag.
Yeah,
That was probably one of the scariest moments in the movie.
Yeah, he really
actually was.
That trash bag really came up on her fast.
It was the only jump scare in the whole thing. So
it is. And
I really kind of enjoyed it because the trash bag had to have been very close, but Renee Zellweger's reaction was like it appeared out of nowhere, right. And it seemed to really aggressively go after her
I was
face.
Expecting to like hold it against her face and like wrestle with it, like in some movies, like, you know.
I think it was foreshadowing to later on when she has the bag over her head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's her destiny in this film.
So now Barry and his girlfriend are walking up the road.
They came upon the house,
right? The dirt road, and this is where she starts being like, well, I'm not really dumb. I just act dumb to get attention and blah, blah, blah.
And then she's like, yeah, I felt like it was a weird, they forgot to write something here.
I know.
Yeah.
Then, right, that's like saying, weird. The dialogue made no sense to me here. She's talking about her mom just stays with her father because... All these, this dialogue leads to nothing. I mean, it's not even developing character.
It sort of just felt like something on the day they were like, we forgot to write something. Can you just talk?
Right.
Like, I don't know. What's on your mind? Because at one point she's like, I am a bee, just like my mother. I'm like, well, that's kind of on the note. Like, okay. Like, sort of unprompted. And
well, then his reaction to her, he says something like, well, why don't you tell me this stuff before I look like an idiot? I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
He's probably like, why didn't you tell me the lines you're saying before?
So right, because the response wasn't even fitting to what
she was saying. He seems totally unprepared for what she's talking about. Yeah. I feel like, or like they got different script pages or something, or, so they eventually get to this old broken down house.
Where apparently this girl has no peripheral vision.
None
whatsoever.
None.
No sense. Very narrow scope, tunnel vision going on
here.
She has
like horse blinders where she can only see straight forward in front of her because... For a long sequence, Leatherface is behind her, like, poking her
head. He's poking her, and she's swatting like it's a bug.
She's sitting on a bench on the porch, like a swing, and he comes up behind her, and he's like,
I know when I've been tapped on the shoulder.
And he's making a lot.
I'm not going to turn around and be like, it's just a bug, you know?
Well, and you can hear him walk up behind her, too. Like, you can hear his footsteps, and she's still like...
He's huge. Right. Like, there's no way she didn't hear or smell this. Like, you know.
Okay, Do you want me to save this until the end of the podcast?
No, I don't
think
did
cabbage?
You look this up?
Okay, a website called thewordedetective.com. I'm going to read a quote.
Okay, can you just read it?
They say that it comes from a joke. I'm just going to tell the joke, right? I've never heard this joke before. It says, the circus arrives...
Hold on, Jack. Can we get some more setup? I don't
know. I know.
I don't know
how many jokes have you heard before?
47. Okay. A circus arrives in a small town, and one morning one of the elephants manages to escape. This elephant then wanders onto the property of an elderly woman who is also extremely nearsighted and begins hungrily uprooting her cabbages with its trunk and eating them. Alarmed, this woman calls the sheriff and says, Sheriff, there's a big cow in my garden pulling up my cabbages with its tail. To which the sheriff responds, what's the cow doing with the cabbages? And she answers, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Is there more?
What? She thinks the elephant's a cow.
Yeah.
She thinks the trunk is its tail. What's the elephant doing with the cabbages?
Up his ass.
Yes. So she thinks it's a cow shoving.
Still, that's a weak punchline.
It's a very...
Think about it.
It's
this
not
is
the
not,
punchline this week.
I didn't say it was... I didn't create the joke. I'm simply reading it. What's
in front
of her. She was
saying tell Vilmer to stick it up his ass?
I guess
now,
so.
this website also says that from this joke comes the saying, to tell someone how the cow ate the cabbage... means to tell the person the unvarnished truth, even if the person would rather not hear it. It could also mean the state of one's opinion forcibly, or to tell someone off. To tell someone how the cow ate the cabbage.
Oh, boy.
An old saying from around about the 1940s in Arkansas and Texas. This is what Word Detective says.
This sounds like some Dukes of Hazzard stuff.
I didn't write the joke. I just read it. I swear this is...
Wow. You didn't write it?
No.
Oh, I thought you just wrote it
now.
I'm saying don't blame me. I'm not going to tell you how the cow ate the cabbage.
All right. Yikes. All right. So at the same time that Leatherface is creeping around the girl, this other guy with a shotgun is talking to Barry.
Yeah, Barry goes around back because he's like, oh, maybe the guy who drove up in the car is around back.
This guy with the shotgun.
He doesn't just like quotes.
He speaks in quotes.
He's like a professor.
In quotes. Yeah. His gimmick.
Benjamin Franklin.
If I do a quirky character, I think that's the kind of humorous for a quirky character.
Oh, this shtick was I was done with this shtick within the first 2 minutes. I'm like, I at one point I actually looked at the runtime and I was like, are you kidding me? I've got another 70 minutes of this guy speaking in quotes. I'm like,
you have nothing to do.
My life is not long enough to deal with that. Mm-hmm.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
So, quote of the day
is like his cell phone. Doesn't he follow him around with a shotgun?
He follows around
with
a shotgun.
Like, he's like, I'm going to go find my girlfriend, and he's literally walking in like in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. He's got like, okay, and he's not holding him at gunpoint.
No, because he is holding
Barry seems very relaxed, though. Like, he's just walking, and this pest is following him with a gun.
He is holding him at gunpoint in the back, and then Leatherface grabs the girlfriend.
And then
he hears her screaming, so he
goes inside and locks himself inside.
Well, he runs around to the front.
And then locks himself inside to get away from the guy with the shotgun.
Oh, right.
And take a piss.
He like pulls a fast one on him.
I like that because he goes...
he pulls
like,
a fast one on him by locking himself...
Because the guy's
locking
like,
the guy with the gun outside.
This is the first of three times that happens in this movie that people pull a fast one on the Leatherface family and lock themselves inside the house. And the Leatherface family's like, oh, they got me.
Well, it's like because he's at the door and he's like, get in the house. He's like, okay, I do have to use the bathroom anyways. And he like shuts the door quick. And then he actually looks for the bathroom. I'm like, wait, he actually has to use the bathroom.
And he's one of the grossest bathrooms, and he uses it anyway.
This would have been like in Cold Light of Day if like Henry Cavill was like, hold on, I gotta throw up, and then he actually was like ran off, and then was like,
or in or in what was the Harrison Ford one where the guy's like, oh, I was just looking for your bathroom, and he's like sneaking around. If he actually used the bathroom.
Well, she sees a dead body at the top.
Well,
he takes a leak first.
They have this scene where he's like goes to the bathroom. He's like talking to Renee Zellweger, or his girlfriend, or something.
He thinks
like,
his girlfriend can hear him. He's clearly not distressed that he heard her screaming.
I'm here. So he's just like there's this long scene of him like walking up the toilet and taking a whiz, and then they like zips up and he turns around and he sees like a body like decomposing in the tub.
Right. And then there's
and he still doesn't really freak out that
and
much.
And then there's a woman's skin suit hanging on the door, and he screams at that too.
Seems more freaked out by that
than the dead body,
which I'm like, oh,
and then
okay.
he gets hit in the head.
But
this is where it starts getting, I don't know.
Good?
No, not good. Just so far away from Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because before
this
that,
becomes the exact
Leatherface
thing.
Grabs her, puts her in the freezer. Yeah, does the same exact stuff in part one.
He did in part one.
But they have
him
screaming.
And he puts her on the hook,
so
just
over
like
the top.
In the first one.
He's so over the top. I mean, you know, the first one, Gunnar Hansen did this great job of being reserved with it.
He's screaming. Leatherface is screaming more than she is.
Oh my God! It's over. It's just too much. You're like, I
didn't even know. I was.
Am I supposed to be sympathetic?
Well,
with him?
It's almost like he's doing it because he's like scared that she's making noise and he's gonna get caught or something.
Yeah,
so he's like, I have to put you in the freezer.
Isn't that too? I'm not gonna.
But,
it's
but
dumb in this movie, but isn't that always the implication of Leatherface? That he's got some kind of like a mental handicap where he's a little slow and easy to control, and embellish him in his bizarre twisted behavior, but he's also very scared like a child.
Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't
too much.
He's just screaming nonstop.
The first one
like,
he's childlike, and the second one he's
childlike.
Like, in this one he's more like
just. I don't know what.
In the first one, he was childlike. In the first one, he was childlike and scared. So let's make him that in the second one. Just play him scared. Okay.
So now we cut to Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey are in the truck.
Are you going to kill me?
I like
that. Get in the truck.
So she gets in the truck.
Gets in the truck.
Guy's really whack. He's really crazy. You can tell. But
I know. And then he gets her in the truck by pretending like he doesn't want her to get in the truck.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. He starts driving away. She's like, wait.
Reverse psychology works every time. All right.
And I'd like to say, let's break down two great scenes we've seen for this movie. I'm going to flashback for a moment to They Live, when Rowdy Roddy Piper wants Keith David to
put on
glasses. Her sunglasses.
Yep.
And this movie, when Matthew McConaughey wants Renee Zellweger to look in the back of the truck.
And they look.
They're very similar.
You're
because
right.
It's just, he must say,
it ain't going
take,
for
a look, take a look.
Look in the back of the truck.
I
don't want to look in the back of the truck.
Look in the back of the truck.
Look in the back of the truck. Take a look. I don't want to look. Take a look.
You want to look?
Oh,
I know. Yes, I know.
Put on the glasses.
Just look. Fine. We get it. You don't want to.
If you stop the truck, I'll look. So he stops the truck, and she looks.
No, he forced her. Yeah, he grabbed her.
He does get pretty violent with her.
Yeah.
And then he forces her to look.
And sees
and it's her
too.
Dead friends.
Yeah. And then she.
And then
like,
he lets her go.
Well, she rolls out of the.
Oh, no. He gives her a chance to escape, and he sort of taunts her with it. Are you going to let me go? And he said, it's your life. And he starts driving, and the door is open. So he's apparently toying with her. and giving her an option to escape, but he's making it hard for her.
Yes.
But it doesn't really matter because she gets away, and by hiding in a hedgerow, he says, "All right, see you later," and he drives away.
And then, once again, Leatherface has snuck up on her.
And I finally, guess, we get a chainsaw.
And I guess Vilmer knew that Leatherface was back there.
Yeah, Vilmer is Matthew McConaughey's character's name.
With his robot leg.
So he's like, I know Leatherface is back there, of course, so I'm going to drive away.
This has all been elaborately
And this is like the second attempt at a jump scare.
Yeah.
Yep.
And somewhere
the garbage bag was more effective than this one.
It was.
Which actually ends up with. Well,
why do chainsaws always do these?
It's always silent.
Yeah, it's always silent until all of a sudden it's like running. Yeah, they don't start to.
I know.
I never had a chainsaw start on the first pole and just.
Ready to go.
Yeah, but these movies are always.
And also, why doesn't Leatherface trip and like impale himself on this thing?
Well, he runs. The chainsaw is just going.
But are they insinuating? I mean, I know we can see, but I guess the characters, because he's just swinging this thing around, nowhere's near her. Are they insinuating it's so dark out he can't see and he's just trying to. Or is he that freaking stupid that he can't?
I don't think he knows where to put the chainsaw to cut her. Because once again,
trying to kill her, though.
Renee Zellweger. That's gets true. To he the might house. Not be trying to
kill well, her. Well, later on, right. the film implies that maybe that they're doing this to her on purpose. I think it's possible. Right.
I think he's trying to drive her to.
You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So then she shows up at the house and once again locks Leatherface out of his own home.
Yep.
And they end up in like this crazy chase. She ends like up cuts on the door roof down. Of the house.
Well, no, that's later.
She climbs up on the TV antenna. This is a long chase. She climbs up on the TV antenna. She goes upstairs.
Okay. Is this cop upstairs? Is he like a?
That's just a mannequin.
It's just a mannequin, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. With like a cop uniform. I thought it was
another member of the family who was gonna like hold her hostage or do something, hold her down while Leatherface came at her or something. Nope, she just takes the gun.
And there's no bullets.
It's unloaded. They end up on the roof.
She's climbing the TV antenna.
Hey, it reminded me of the Arlie Ermey character in the remake, which was obviously after this one. But that's like in my mind, I was like, then I was like, wait, no, that's just some random cop mannequin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And then they end up on the roof. Leatherface is attacking the chimney. With a chainsaw, successfully, amazingly, which is
she climbs up the antenna.
Yeah, she's shimmying up the TV antenna.
Yeah,
and then she jumps on a power line.
Must be a phone line.
It can't be power line because
I thought about that too. I guess it's a phone line.
I guess they have a landliner.
It's also the strongest phone line ever. Yeah, right. Phone lines are not really reinforced.
She pulls like an Indiana Jones type escape here. And
yeah, I mean, she is pretty light.
Which Leatherface she repels across and
cuts the cord.
And she falls through the greenhouse.
And then there's like a whole weird scene where she's just sort of like
she gets up and
she's like, in the greenhouse.
Yeah, so.
And then there's just this pause. And then all of a sudden, then it's like, Leatherface is here again. And I'm like, why was there that weird pause?
So he could get all the way downstairs.
And Leatherface has got to get back down there. Now, the audience isn't going to believe it if he's waiting for her already in the greenhouse. So why don't you just wait there and be disoriented, cough a little bit. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay, and cue Leatherface. Yeah,
just wait for the scare.
I'm right.
She runs again, and she's chased by Leatherface to this secretary's office.
Yes.
And
Jack Clem's secretary's office. She didn't have to. I think she's a structural engineer, ladies. This woman was making dinner for her husband.
I feel like I'm being persecuted on this podcast. I just said one word.
Breastfeeding the babies.
Implicated nothing. Yeah. Implicated nothing.
This stay-at-home mom.
Had her house robe on. And
I'm being persecuted.
Renee Zellweger gets there, which is like, again, like the first one where she ends up at the cook's.
Yeah.
Whatever he's got there. But she gets there and she's like, she says chainsaw like 8 times too. She's like, he was chasing me with a chainsaw. It was a chainsaw. It was a guy with a chainsaw. It was like really annoying.
So then the flasher lady gets on the phone. She calls, who would be Matthew McConaughey. She's like, hey, get your butt over here mucho quicko. I'm like, all right.
It was the other guy. It was not Matthew McConaughey.
The quote guy. She calls quote man.
Brainy like, quote.
Mucho quicko. All right. Great. That's right. He comes over. He comes over with a cattle prod.
In a bag.
So at first, again, the film is trying to trick you into thinking that this woman is going to be on her side. Hey, look, there's no one out there. And she's looking around. See, there's no one out here. And I was expecting this movie because something similar happens in the first movie.
If you watch the first one, you know it's not.
So you know. But I thought they were going to do a creative twist, of course. No. Silly me to believe something like that in this movie.
Well, there's a creative twist. The Illuminati? That's pretty creative at the end.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, she calls W.A. or whatever his name is.
Who would understand that reference in a horror movie?
Well, if you were watching closely, Matthew McConaughey's truck has Illuminati spray painted on the side of it.
It did. You're right. It did. You're right. So. It's only one scene I noticed
not,
that, though.
This film is not subtle with its metaphors. Yes.
It's slightly. It's only slightly more subtle than the Da Vinci Code. So now he's. I don't know. The quote guy's got this cattle prod. He's like creepily going to town with this cattle prod.
Like really, he's like just like poking like crazy.
Like a little much. Like almost where I feel again, like the actor really was a little too into the.
They're
cattle
doing
prod.
The same thing with as the first one did. You know, he was really torturing her with that broomstick in the first one.
Yeah.
So they're trying to do. They're trying to parallel or reminiscent, whatever.
Yeah. So they bring her back. The dumb girl had gotten out.
Wait. What about the pizza?
She goes to a pizza drive-thru. So she's got Renee Zellweger tied up in the back. She's kicking and screaming. She's at a pizza place drive-thru getting handed pizza and what I'm assuming is burgers in paper bags.
Drinks. Yeah.
Oh, the drinks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pizza and drinks.
So whatever it is, she's getting this food and Renee Zellweger's kicking and the guy at the drive-thru is like, "What's that?" She's like, "You got something in the trunk?" And she's like, "Yeah, you want to see?" And he's like,
Yeah.
And then
so
she
what was her plan?
She opens the trunk.
I kind of like
doesn't
this scene.
Show this guy.
I kind of like the scene because I don't know, I like it when they do that. Kind of like she's so brazen about her.
Yeah, right.
She's so
yeah.
crazy where it's just like, I don't care. You want to see? Or, you know, the cops walking up behind her later on and she's right. just. Yeah,
why
I like
is Renee Zellweger not screaming?
I don't know. At that point, I'd be like, okay, there is somebody else out there. I'm going to scream. But.
Right. Well, yeah, at that point when she's.
She promised she's not to. She keeps her promises.
Because she poked a hole in the bag for her to breathe.
Right, so.
And you could say, you could, if somebody said to me, "What's this movie about?" I could be like, "Well, it's kind of about a family's quest to order pizza, bring it back to their home, and eat it." Like, you could really say that this pizza.
It takes a while for them to get to sit down and eat it, too.
I mean,
they don't even finish it.
It's sort of at the core of the whole plot of this movie.
Yeah, at one point, Matthew McConaughey's like, "The pizza's getting cold. We have to take care of it now."
I know. They microwave it at one point. Like, it really keeps coming back.
Well, you know, this was the days before pizza.net, so you couldn't order a pizza and get it delivered to your doorstep right away. So you had to worry about things like that. You had to drive and pick it up somehow.
It was probably right
around you had to go to the
drive-thru.
And
the invention of pizza.net.
Pizza.net.
Maybe. The Illuminati invented pizza.net, by the way. Did you know that?
That's Greg, whatever that mystery villain in the net was, he's also in charge of them. So she goes.
You mean
home.
Jack Devlin, the double duty squad,
the one man dirty duty squad. All right, so she goes back home. She's like, "Hey, that other dumb girl got away. Weatherface, go get her."
Yeah, like when did she get away?
I don't know.
She's in the freezer when
he puts her on the hook.
He puts her in the freezer. Then he puts her on the hook, and then all of a sudden she's off the hook and she's just crawling
on the floor
to safety.
Maybe they just didn't show
it. And she's in like the front. She's like right in the front though, because when they arrive with the pizzas, she's on the floor, right? Isn't she?
No,
she's
in the
woods.
She got in
the scene where she's driving.
Oh, that's right.
She's driving back to the house.
I love this.
She's driving back to the house, and in the middle of the road, this girl is laying.
And she says, "Please help me."
She's like, "Please help me." And
all right, she goes and grabs a stick and starts hitting her with the stick. To which her response is
very lightly.
"Please stop hitting me. Please stop hitting me."
Okay, just don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So she goes back to the house and tells
I don't know when she got it. I can't remember. I just watched the damn thing this morning.
No, I don't think they show her getting away.
She's just there.
Because she started getting away, and then he put her on her hook.
He puts her on the hook, then she gets away.
Because when she's like crawling in the middle of the road, she's got like the hook wound in her back. So they must have just not shown her cut out.
Yeah.
But so she goes back to the house and tells W.E. or whatever his name is, the quote guy, like, "Oh, that one got away. You better go get her." And so he goes off and gets her, and they bring Renee Zellweger into the house.
And they were all sitting there. We're all in the, as you said, from the first one, we're at the big dinner table.
Vilmer's upset. Vilmer's upset about his batteries.
Yeah, Vilmer's freaking
that's
out.
That's where we learned about
that. You didn't charge my batteries.
Yeah. For this is the second movie we've watched where a character has a robotic leg and there are issues with it, the batteries not being charged to control it. How is this a recurring theme?
Well, what's this remote control thing do for him, too?
Later on in the movie, he's pressing buttons when it gets stuck so he can walk.
What does?
But other people can control his robotic leg with TV
remotes? Yeah, he's got a whole box of like old TV remotes.
They apparently control
his leg. But it's not like he has to
control his leg.
Right.
I don't know.
This is crazy.
The Illuminati gave it to
him. Yeah, because then he starts just kicking the shit out of all the women there.
Pretty much everyone.
Just losing
everyone.
Right,
he's like, he bites the one girl's nose off, I guess, and
yeah,
puts his foot on his girlfriend's neck and uses his robotic leg.
There's a moment where Renee Zellweger actually gets a gun and holds the family at gunpoint. And of course, obviously, Velmer gets the gun back. So that was a waste of a scene.
This whole thing. I think the only thing that happened.
In the midst of this,
it's so hard to talk about because all this weird, crazy shit that happens.
It happens very fast
for no reason.
A lot happens for no reason in a very short span of time in this sequence.
The woman, the flasher lady / McConaughey's girlfriend, reveals randomly to Renee Zellweger that the Leatherface family has been around for hundreds of years.
2,000 years.
2,000 years.
1,000, she can't remember.
And they killed Kennedy?
No, not the Leatherface family. This organization. Yeah, the people who work.
So Velmer works for the. She reveals to her quite randomly and out of the blue. Like even in this movie, when she said this line, I was like, "What?" Like she says, "I'll tell you about Velmer."
Velmer's stressed out.
Velmer's stressed because they're controlling his mind and they want him to kill. It's what he does. And you know who killed Kennedy, right? I'll tell you. For 2,000 years or 1,000, I don't remember. I was
had
like,
to rewind and watch it.
What?
What are we, where is this going?
When I think secret organization, I don't think like cannibalistic hillbillies living in the middle of nowhere using chainsaws and robotic legs.
Well, there's a whole reasoning for why they employed him was like, I think they say later on, but it's crazy.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But I did notice one thing in the scene where everything's going crazy in the kitchen and Vilmer's like choking his girlfriend with his leg.
Yeah.
I laughed because when he throws her down and like puts his leg on her throat, it's like the shot from above and you can see like her skirt comes up and then she like, you can see like fix her skirt, like pull it down. In that moment, I don't think the actress like, oh my, but she's like, if you're getting choked by this guy's foot, you're not like, oh, I better, I'm indecent.
I liked too how, so Renee Zellweger gets a shotgun. She's threatening everyone with it. And then she actually finally pulls the trigger and one of the barrels is empty.
Right.
We need a GIF of Matthew McConaughey cheering about that barrel was empty.
Oh, God, this whole scene. He's just eating all the scenery.
We really need a gift.
How over
that.
The top was this fucking... I mean, come on.
I know.
This is way over the top.
I know. It's so nuts.
He starts hitting himself in the head at that point. Was that where he said himself?
Yeah.
To which Renee Zellweger runs away, I believe, again.
And actually gets in a car and tries to escape.
He's more concerned with being crazy than actually.
And then he jumps on the car.
He gets the car. He jumps out of the roof, out of the second story window on the car.
But she doesn't manage to hit him because she knocks him off the front of the car.
And the hood pops open.
And again, this all happens in a short span of time. And then the hood flies up and she stops the car.
And she crashes into a tree.
Crashes into a tree because she can't see.
And she's caught again.
And she's caught again.
And she gets away later on and tries to bust the window off. Later on, she gets out the window and gets caught again.
You know what's funny? This is really the reverse of The Net. In The Net, Sandra Bullock escapes at will. Renee Zellweger can't do anything
at the end of the,
right.
Well, I mean, she keeps escaping. Towards the end of the movie, she's like, she knows how easy it is to escape. So she's just like, look, I'm leaving. If you want to kill me, do it, but otherwise I'm leaving. She basically says that.
Right. Yeah.
She literally says that, actually.
And it's like, because they're really not trying to keep her there. Until she escapes and they go and get her back,
We do get the dinner table scene which is very much like a rip off
of the first one.
I did laugh though because when McConaughey walks in the room, he does say, all right.
Yeah.
I was watching this with my girlfriend who hates Matthew McConaughey.
Yep.
And when that happened, she got up and walked out of the room.
Did she watch it?
Yeah, she's like, I can't take it.
And
I made her come back.
But. He would have shot this like just months after he made Dazed and Confused. He was already riffing on his Dazed and Confused character.
Well, that's why I didn't know if this came before or after that.
Well,
when it was
I wonder if that's just something he says that somehow ends up in the lines of dialogue. Just he doesn't even realize it. Like, it's just something he says.
Oh, no, he had to be doing it intentionally. I wonder if he was doing it. Like, I wonder if he was just trying to be funny and be like, oh, I'll do this little callback to this other little movie I just made. But now seeing it, it's like, oh my God, he's referencing the line everyone knows him for in this movie. Oh. And if you were wondering, imagine sitting around in 1997 and you're like, I wonder what it would be like to see Matthew McConaughey blow snot all over Renee Zellweger's face. You do get to see it. You do get to see it.
And
I don't think that Renee Zellweger was prepared for it based on her reaction.
You think Renee Zellweger? I think that was totally improv.
Yeah.
You think she looks back on this movie and goes like, "What the hell was I? Why
did I
agree to this?"
I wonder if they both do.
Well, I think in the 90s they're because I'm pretty sure they tried to stop this from being released.
They did, right? They did.
Even in the 90s,
they sued the company.
It sounds like. McConaughey well, you can't did. Do it that. Sounds like Renee Zellweger's people didn't really fight it
but
that hard, but McConaughey.
That,
the guy's like licking the side of her face.
You can't do that though. If you're an actor and you sign up for a job, right? You do the job, right?
Right.
I mean, a lot of actors get their start in low budget films that aren't. Some of them aren't very good at all, and then eventually they make their way up. So I just think that obviously I would be embarrassed about being in this movie, but if that I did not know that they had tried to suppress
they did.
The film.
They
I mean,
sued them and they.
I don't
like
think
a
you can,
limited
you can,
release,
but,
limited theatrical release, yeah. And then it went away.
So I was pretty sure this was never going to be released.
Came
until,
out video, right?
Yeah. But this probably would have never been released had it not been for those two getting famous.
Yeah.
So in this scene, though, too, in the dining room scene, you find out that they were keeping Renee Zellweger around and didn't want to kill her, I guess, earlier because Leatherface wanted her face.
Yeah.
He's wearing some other woman's face, and he's got tired of it, so he wanted her face.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to kill her and take her face.
I guess, right? Yeah.
That seems to be what they're saying.
I guess. Yeah. But then it unfolds that...
Well, these two guys knock on the door.
They're supposed to just like make people feel horror.
This is when the men in black show up.
These two guys.
This French guy and this really creepy tall guy.
Yeah. Now, is this his real hair, or is this just hair like just put on top of his head?
I was also... There's something... Something is manufactured about that.
Isn't it? Because
there's an apparatus there.
Like, there's something weird going on there.
Yeah.
He's got this haircut like a Henry V, you know, like Kenneth Branagh with the hair, which is shaved all around the sides. It looks like
it's not even shaved on the side. It just kind of stops.
It just kind of stops.
A weird
like
spot.
It's ring around.
It's kind of like Lego hair.
Exactly. It's like a bad wig.
Yeah. Something's not.
And he comes in, and Renee Zellweger runs to his arms, like, "Help! Get me out!" And he sits down.
Like, why would
down.
She think that somebody is going to save him?
And then
he's wearing a suit.
And then he says, "Hush." Hush, child. We will take care of this. We'll be okay. And then he takes off his shirt, or part of his shirt,
unbuttons it.
And he's got like a massive nipple on his belly with
rings,
like a nipple ring through it.
Yeah.
And then he starts licking Renee Zellweger's face.
And, stuff too.
And he's like getting into it.
Yeah.
I was like, "Why are you doing that?"
But then he's talking to McConaughey.
Yeah, before
about how he failed. You were just a boy.
Like, you're here to show people what true horror is,
and McConaughey looks like he's getting jerked off or something.
I know, he's like,
what's he doing to him?
He's making like pig noises.
Is he doing something to him?
I think he's
just like embarrassed and like
in front of his boss. Basically, he's getting chewed out by his boss
because
he messed up.
Well, that was a weird reaction.
I think that
reaction also comes a second ago when he crushes the girl's skull.
Yeah.
A second later.
Because
yeah.
he's so angry.
Here's my question. In the world of this movie, how did McConaughey mess up? Because they're supposed to be showing people the
horror
meaning of horror.
Yeah.
If I were caught in this situation, I think
I'd
be
pretty
scared.
I know, he just lit the girl on fire in front of her friend. I mean, that's pretty horrifying.
I think maybe he's supposed to show people horror on a grander scale. I don't know.
Like showing off your massive belly nipple and then licking someone. I mean, that's
I don't know. Like, was he not supposed to kill them? Or I don't like he seemed pretty successful.
I think he's just not scary enough.
Horror.
He's just like yelling and stuff.
Well, there is a
leg is pretty intimidating.
Yeah,
he could crush you with that.
Maybe he just didn't like his style because all he does is yell in their face and blow snot on them. It's not really scary. It's
sometimes
like,
he puts a knife to your throat.
So then, but then basically, limo
and
guy.
And then doesn't kill you.
Well, then limo guy eventually is like, "Hey, get it together here. Like, you know, we're gonna have a middle manager come in." Or
now,
whatever,
about halfway through this movie, I remembered the end.
Did you?
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh no, I can't." That's right. That's what's coming because it comes in a few minutes.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I remembered a plane. I remembered a plane. I was like,
"Does it make any sense?"
No.
It doesn't make squat.
It's just a crop duster that all of a sudden.
Let's talk about that.
Let's get to it.
We're almost there.
Right.
So next,
so Renee's here's where Renee Zellweger basically says, "I'm just getting out of here." Right.
And she
First Matthew McConaughey, because he's angry that he's been embarrassed by his boss,
he crushes the girl's skull.
Just crushes the girl's skull.
And starts cutting himself.
And then starts cutting himself.
And then he starts like crying.
Crying.
And then Renee Zellweger.
She's just like, I'm
and
out.
Then the old, and then the old well, dead guy at the head of the table just stands up.
Yeah.
For no reason.
And here's the key. Renee Zellweger gets a remote control She's going crazy with the remote control that made me laugh so hard. For his robot leg. He's got another remote control. It's a battle of remotes.
Yeah, I was laughing
robot
at that.
Robot leg. This is so...
Like, and the sound effects. He was like... As he's like writhing around the floor, like trying to get his like the control of his leg again.
This is all flashing me back to I Know Who Killed Me, you know, and like Lindsay Lohan's robotic leg. And finally, then Renee Zellweger like runs out, and now Matthew McConaughey goes out on
the
porch.
Well, it turns to daytime.
Oh, it's turning to daytime. Well, he has the remote
in like
now.
A second.
This is another great moment where
he starts shouting Velmer at the top of his lungs.
He yells his own name.
On the porch going, Velmer! And I'm like, this would be like Cody did a good podcast and he stood outside his house and was like, Cody!
I do that.
Who would do that?
Well, it almost felt like a mistake because like then he's yelling to Leatherface. He's like, get her, get her.
Yeah.
Like maybe he's supposed to yell Leatherface. I don't know, but he just yells his own name.
He's my own name.
Because he won the remote control battle, so he's super excited.
So Renee Zellweger goes running,
and there's a random shot of like there's an older couple driving a Winnebago, and
they're driving just in the field apparently,
just driving through a cornfield,
not a road or anything.
And there's a crop, there's a crop duster, and there's a callback to that.
Hold on, you're jumping ahead a little bit, Jack. Okay, so. She's running alongside this RV.
There is a shot of the crop duster before they introduce. It is technically a callback because there's a shot of it. Then Renee Zellweger runs out of the field. Then the Winnebago drives by.
Yeah.
And then she runs out in front of it. Don't stop! Don't stop! But then the guy with the chainsaw, Leatherface, comes up.
And then the old lady is like, he's got a chainsaw.
There's a monster chasing her with a chainsaw.
And you can see the floppy rubber chainsaw in the wide shot. You could see it.
And then what'd she say? Speed up, Mr. She calls her husband Mr. or whatever.
Because they did that. Because when they first go to them and he makes her a drink, she's like, oh, thank you for the drink, Mrs. Schottenheimer. She's like, oh, drive faster, Mr. Schottenheimer.
So then all of a sudden.
This must have been like the director's parents.
There's something to these characters. Now all of a sudden, McConaughey and Leatherface now are in a truck. They run an RV off, it's not even a road, off the field?
Well, they just like run into like a pile of something.
A pile of logs or something.
It just like sends it off.
Presumably killing the two old people because we never see them again.
In my mind, they're still alive.
Okay, sure.
Off screen death.
They spill their drinks. But...
They're nice people.
Okay.
So and now she's running away.
She's running and the crop.
Here we go.
Velmer is running after her at this point.
Yeah.
Because Velmer pulls up in his truck, so
yeah,
she's running. Velmer's running behind her, and Leatherface is in third.
Leatherface is in third place.
Yes. So then this
getting broad.
This plane comes like comes swooping in and just like hits Velmer in the face with its propeller.
Oh, was
and
it
just flies
propeller?
Away.
I thought it was
And then when it flies away, there's blood on the wing, and it flies away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even Renee Zellweger's like, "What the hell?"
Yeah,
but she has no time to stop because
was the blood purple?
It did look. It was like a weird color.
It was. She runs up to the body, and he's bleeding purple blood. And then she has no time to stop.
I don't think she runs up. Leatherface runs up.
Oh, it's Leatherface.
Yeah. Leatherface is free. You would have been confused because
it's his brother.
He's screaming like a woman, but
yeah.
I would like to get the opinion from each of you, and especially Andy, who's seen this movie more than once. What is going
on?
Or you've seen more than once too. Okay. What is going on? Is this crop duster intentionally helping Renee Zellweger? Is the crop duster connected to Limo Man?
Yeah, it's working for Limo Man.
Yeah,
because the limo pulls up right after.
Limo Man.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and then
connected to the Illuminati.
Yeah, then Limo Man says something like, "Oh, he needed to go. He wasn't blah 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 or whatever."
So, yeah, okay. it's a horrible experiment that went awry.
He calls
abomination.
This. He calls it an abomination. I'm like, well, thank you for your review of this film.
Right.
Yeah.
As well.
So then he agrees to drop her off at a hospital. Or a police station.
Again, what is going on here? Like, why is Limo Man...
Is this like a hostile situation? Like where he's embellishing these weirdos because he wants to see what people's reactions are to the horror? I don't get it.
Yeah, I guess he's so far in a secret society that he's not going to get in trouble.
But
it's always covered up, so you can just drop off somebody who's been through something like this. And
this was really kind of frustrating.
Cops will not know what's going on.
Plus, the fear gets out because she's alive to tell the tale.
Yeah.
Well, but the story of this is crazy. Like, normally in a horror movie, okay, your hero girl escapes at the end, and the hero girl gets away on her own. The hero girl didn't escape here. She needed to be bailed out by some weird guy in a limo.
Who's also one of the bad guys.
Who's also a bad guy. Like, it's really kind of like, what is the story here? Like, she would have... It doesn't even make any sense.
And then they try to end it in a cool way, but if you don't know what it is,
I have to be honest, I didn't know what it was. I knew, and then I do too.
But if you don't know what it is,
I don't understand.
It's the stupidest
way
to do it.
Yeah. Can you, okay, so let's
please explain it to me.
Let Alex explain it. Okay, so now we see Renee Zellweger is in a hospital,
being interviewed by a cop. Yeah,
being interviewed by a cop who's like seems a little skeptical, and then someone is wheeled by. On a stretcher, which is very alarming to Renee Zellweger and very confusing to the audience.
It doesn't make any sense that Renee Zellweger would have any recognition.
Yeah, who is that person?
It's Marilyn Burns.
Right, it's original from the original movie. The one who survived the original movie. Okay. She's on the gurney.
And I think the guy pushing the gurney is Franklin.
The guy
in the wheelchair.
So it's two people from the original one. But it makes no sense.
I think there's a third one, too. I can't remember who
that is. I appreciate the cameo, but that made no sense from a storyline.
Because why would her name Zellweger be like, who?
Right, because then the cop's like, you know who that is, little lady?
Yeah. Unless they had some connection.
And then, of course, it ends on the exact same shot because the director was lazy.
Yeah, I wanted to raise my hand and be like, I don't know who that was.
Is she still in the hospital from 22 years ago or whatever?
Yes, right? And then in the credits... In the credits, if you notice, it says patient on gurney, anonymous.
Yeah.
What? They didn't even give her name in there.
Question mark.
Maybe she didn't want her name in
it. They had Paul Partain's in there as pushing her, but they didn't have...
I would rather have seen...
So...
Who, she just died the first recently, didn't she?
She did, yeah.
So the whole thing is this is supposed to be the next generation, like they're rebooting it, but the movie ends with an inside joke that you would have to be very familiar with, and then an almost shot-for-shot accurate shot of...
Leatherface
spinning the chainsaw in front of the sun, and it cuts to black. I was like, you know what the hell? This movie's just cheap. It's just like copying the first one, but not well. Which is why I said it was like high school production of the first
one. So was Leatherface standing out there for like hours before he did the dance?
Is it like the next day? I don't know.
They cut to her in the hospital and all that. Yeah. Then they cut back to Leatherface doing the dance. Like, well, wait a minute. How long has he been standing there waiting to do the dance?
I don't know.
Do you think they made Leatherface because he's like. You know, like a cross-dresser in this.
Yeah.
Do you think that was... I was just thinking, maybe was that like a Silence of the Lambs thing? Because this is like right around a couple years after Silence of the Lambs came out.
It seemed like
the reason they would do that.
No, he was like that in the first one, too, though. He was a woman at the dinner scene in the first one.
Was he?
They actually, in this one, they did the
makeup scene with him. That was actually something they cut out of the first one.
It took me a while. They made it more like...
More of a plot point. I would have almost ended
the movie with a different girl getting kidnapped and Leatherface shows up with Renee Zellweger's face. I mean, that would have almost have been... I mean, it would have been a darker ending, but it's a horror movie anyway, right?
Right, yeah.
That almost would have been the better ending. Like, the car breaks down, Velmer says, can I tow you out? And then Leatherface jumps up with the chainsaw and he's got Renee Zellweger's face. And the other girl, like the stoned stupid girl, is like the new girlfriend. Velmer, what are you doing? You know, and that would have been a creepy ending. Like they're kind of bringing people into their cult.
Actually, that would have been a better, more.
We should just have a segment.
Yeah.
At the end of each podcast, like a Jack segment, where he just says, "This is what the movie should have been." Yeah. He's always very good at like saying, "This is the end of that should have been."
Like the guy there, when he came in the house, the suit guy. You know, said to the chick, well, you know, I can't believe it with him. She's like, you know why I'm here and all that. It's like,
yeah, they never go
I don't know. Why would you tell me? What are you alluding to? I want to know. Yeah, yeah.
I still don't know why Velmer was there.
Well, the movie is so, like, the characters are so shouty. It took me so long to even understand that a lot of this was about Leatherface wanting a new face.
I don't know.
I think it wasn't.
I thought it was about the Illuminati trying to show Renee Zellweger the meaning of true horror.
Well, both. I don't know, but
Leatherface is so
why not remove the Illuminati plot?
Leatherface is.
Well, does he actually even kill anybody like with a chainsaw or anybody at all? Period.
No, he doesn't.
He does hit that one dude in the head with a piece of wood. The Barry guy.
Yeah.
Was he dead after that?
He was alive. He's always hit in the head with is a piece of wood, right. But we never see him again. So I guess he died.
That was it. Yeah.
But he never hacked anyone up with a chainsaw.
No.
He never did anything.
That was used more as a scare tactic, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's the Texas Chainsaw Scare tactic?
I like to call it the
Texas Chainsaw Scare-a-thon.
I like to call it the Texas Facepalm Massacre. Because the movie just makes you facepalm.
All right, let's do our So Wrong It's Right question. This is real. Some of you may know the answer to this, but if you do, people can play along at home. But this is not a fake question. I just want people to know that. For the soundtrack to this movie, The actor who plays Leatherface was friends with an 80s rock pop icon, and they collaborated on a song for the soundtrack that featured this singer and pictures of Leatherface behind her on, like, the single, like, cover. And this is real. One of these people really is friends with the actor who played Leatherface and provided a song for this movie. Is it Chrissy Hyde of The Pretenders, Debbie Harry of Blondie, Nancy Wilson of Heart, or Joan Jett of the Blackhearts?
Wow.
One of those really? Four pretty well-known singers actually did a song for this movie.
I didn't pay attention to the music in it, so I can't even tell
you. I don't think the song appears in the movie. Right. I think it shows up on the soundtrack album, and the picture of the single artwork is crazy.
By the way,
like this singer and like photos of Leatherface.
How about weaving the soundtrack in with when he was killing people, like put a cassette in and...
Yeah.
That's another thing we could have done that they didn't.
Do you want to read the choices again?
Please.
Okay. It is Chrissy Hyde of The Pretenders, working as a solo artist here, but I'm giving a reference to what group they're best known with. Chrissy Hyde of The Pretenders, Nancy Wilson of Heart, Debbie Harry of Blondie, or Joan Jett. Well, kind of more. I mean, Joan Jett's sort of more famous as Joan Jett, but
I'm going to say Nancy Wilson.
Okay.
For no I don't know why. I'm just guessing.
I'm thinking Deborah Harry for some reason.
Okay. I was going to say I'll go Joan Jett though, just because I want to be different.
It is Debbie Harry. I mean, who is a pretty big star?
Oh yeah.
Eerie to me that she's friends with Robert Jacks, who played Leatherface, and agreed to be associated with this in any way. You'd think she'd be like, I need to not be. I would be like, look.
You know?
Hey, I'll do a song, but I'll just do a song, and if you want to license the song, but I'm not going to do a song for your crazy movie.
The things you do for friends.
I guess it is. You know, hey, loyalty says a lot in Hollywood.
Quick recap of So Bad It's Good. Who wants to go first? Cody?
I don't know. It's hard. I don't know. I laughed a lot during it, maybe because I was watching with my girlfriend who hates Matthew McConaughey so much, and it was funny. But, I mean, I remember watching it back when you first bought it, and I remember... It stuck with me as being a really bad movie, and McConaughey is just so over the top with it. I would probably go with So Bad It's Good.
Yes, yeah. I was thinking this is one of the only ones I think is So Bad It's Good. Just I have watched it a couple times. For some reason, I can't even tell you why I watched it a couple times.
It's
crazy and stupid. I guess that's where the whole over the top of McConaughey thing is what keeps I think bringing me back because it is so over the top.
Yeah, Jack, what do you think?
I think it skirts the line because there were times when I was like, I'm having fun with this, and there were times when I was just like, this is awful. I think I'm going to go with yes, I think it is So Bad It's Good, simply because of the fact that these were two Oscar-winning actors in this abysmal movie.
Yeah.
That's just alone, but for me it kind of skirts the line, though.
It was a close call for me, too. It is crazy. I mean, it's nuts, but it's also kind of infuriating. It's just so shouty. This is the shoutiest movie I think we've ever seen, and I think my head hurt after watching it, but...
Well, I think the first one was like that, too, though. There's a lot of... It kind of gets, so intense at one point.
Where it was original and
third
scary.
Of it, right.
Yeah.
Last third of it, just nonstop.
Well, that's what kind
of
adds to the intensity of it, where this one is just annoying, because this is McConaughey going, for an hour.
I really want a gif of that. So I guess it would make the cut. I mean, it's free on Crackle, right? Crackle.com right now.
Yep.
I do recommend people see it. It's kind of funny. Couple things before we wind up. If you go to our Facebook page, good friend Max Winters made a hilarious piece of art for our The Net episode. It is an advertisement for pizza.net. It made me laugh out loud when I first saw it. And it has an endorsement from Andy Wolf. It's very funny. I highly recommend it. It is the ad that pizza.net needed in the 90s.
I think so.
And so, you can...
Still be around today if I had that ad.
They would have survived. It would not have been the pets.com of pizza delivery.
Yeah, collapse in the .com, you know.
You can be our friend on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter at WindUpFilms. And as always, please, if you enjoy the show, give us even just a star review on iTunes. It helps move us up in Apple's algorithms and rankings. And I think that's it. We'll be back very soon with more from this Dirty Duty squad here. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
The Bar!